There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all. I'm Sean. Beautiful Friday here. Lots to do this hour. Glad you're here. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's my buddy Trey. He's been doing it for 14 years plus. What's that? Well, getting rid of junk in Mobile and Baldwin counties. He's worked at my house, worked at this radio station, worked at several of us at work here's homes, worked at the storage. If you got junk and you want it gone, and you want to move on with whatever that project is, whatever the thing, then get 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And it's efficient. And if y'all haven't figured that out about me, that's one of my things, right? I'm into efficiency. Lord knows. I use that word a bunch. It's an efficient process because you go online or pick up the phone. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK or 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And it takes about 3 minutes for them to say, okay, what day works for you? What window of time works for you? Okay. And then they set an appointment. Not like this spectrum of time where you got to take off work and be sitting there. No, you set the window time. They show up, and you just point at the stuff you want gone. It could be boxes in the attic. It could be an entire storage building in the backyard. I mean, big train the crew. They get above ground pools, swing sets, trampolines, big stuff. That's fine. Lots of little stuff. That's fine. They can handle it, and they're the kind of people that you'll feel fine with in your house, around your house. Great folks, local folks as well. So give a call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or pick up the keyboard there and type it in, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Set that appointment maybe for next week. Do it on a Friday. Set it up for early next week and get that junk gone. All right, my friend John Sharp from AL.com joining us in just a second. I do want to read so many texts here, and obviously this we might have to have a dramatic reading of My Side of the Mountain, but it looks like sometimes, you know how you think you're alone in liking things, and you go online and realize there's a bunch of other people like you. They're like, yeah, I think that's pretty cool, too. I have that feeling right now with y'all in that book. It's a, it's a book that I still remember, all these decades later, and obviously I'm not the only one. But what I'm getting at is he was trespassing, too. he was, I don't know how you remove him and what kind of ordinance would have been done there, but he was trespassing too. Oh, and my friend Ben said that in the constitutional quiz that just debuted, which Gary won the first one, we'll be doing it again on this next Friday. So your chance by the end of this, if you're the overall winner, you got $600 cash and a FM Talk 106.5 prize pack. So each week, the winner wins a FM Talk 106.5 prize pack monthly. Who have the names of the winners each month? We draw one of those names. They win $100. At the end of December, we're going to draw from all the monthly winners, and that person's going to win $500. So be ready. Next week, we're doing it again. But Ben said, y'all need to have consolation prizes in this contest, like a sticker that says, I lost my citizenship on FM Talk 106.5. Because, that's what happened. Like, John was our first contestant. He didn't answer the question correctly, and that's how this game works. You can either win fabulous prizes or lose your citizenship. All right. With that, let's bring in another John completely, my buddy John Sharp from AL.com. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Doing good. Do you think that's fair? I mean, if they win weekly, they get like a hugger and a pen and the eyeglass kit, some goodies like that. If they lose, they have to forfeit their citizenship.
That's pretty tough.
I like to make things interesting out there.
Anything for the hugger.
That's right. We got the new camo neoprene ones, and people risk their citizenship for that. Lot to talk about here. This is a subject that you've written about, I've talked about. There's so much to this that no wonder people are confused. Your headline says Alabama City grapples with confusion and misconceptions over medical marijuana dispensary. No joke. I have John McMillan on with me, and I'm talking to him, and by the end of it, I'm confused.
Well, I think the ultimate concern, though, is the misinformation perhaps is being spread about, and the confusion that what the state's doing is essentially legalizing recreational marijuana. It is not.
Nope.
It's legalizing and regulating, it seems to be to a very fine tee, medical marijuana. And that's where we're at right now. This is not recreational use. Now, of course, people will argue probably that, you know, this could be the prelude to that.
Sure.
I have no indication that that's the case. Everybody that has spoken on by me has indicated that this is not where Alabama's headed.
No, and I think Alabama might be the last state. It would be the last state to probably do that. But in other states, just to be honest about the debate, even though I was a supporter of the legislation for this when it was going through in Montgomery, yeah, other states have stepped into medical marijuana and then stepped from there to recreational. So it is true. It has happened in other states.
That's correct. There's a trend there. But, I mean, we can only go with what's being...
Correct.
You know, what's being discussed here in Alabama. You know, is that where we're headed? Who's to say where we're heading 10 years from now? Anything could pop up. You know, where will we be at on gambling?
Who knows?
There's a lot of what is.
That's right. But what we're dealing with is the legislation has passed in session that is implemented now with the medical marijuana or medical cannabis commission. So, yeah, there's people that can grow it. There's people that can transport it. There's people that can dispense it. There's some that can do all three. But that has led to some of the confusion, right?
Yeah, that's correct. But the focus for my story that I did was covering basically the Fairhope City Council meeting and the discussion at hand, which is going on in city halls mostly throughout the state, has not made its way to Mobile yet, but most city halls have started to address this, and that's the issue of medical marijuana dispensaries. Where you can go in and obtain it. And there's also the question of whether or not there could be integrated facilities as well, where they do more than just, where there's more than one activity that's part of that particular facility. But each city in the state of Alabama, in order to even be considered for having or hosting a medical marijuana dispensary, needs to pass an ordinance. In counties, in unincorporated areas within a county commission has to turn around and vote on a resolution. So two different things that need to be done, both about the same thing, by a local governing board in order to even make their locality eligible for one of these facilities. That does not guarantee one is even going to open. And the odds are, if most of the cities and counties do approve these ordinances and resolutions, the odds are that they likely are probably not going to host a medical marijuana dispensary. There's only, I believe, 37 that are going to be or up to 37 that can be put into play when the program rolls out, in from what I've been told, in June of next year.
Yep. And listen, that's a whole other show. And by the way, John McMillan will be back on with us on Monday, and I will lament why we have to say how many dispensaries instead of letting the market figure it out. But that's not what I'm talking to my friend John Sharp about. So I think this is actually a pretty decent civics lesson too, though, right? Because what you just laid out, people will go, okay, the state legislature passed the bill that enabled the Cannabis Commission to set up the rules for doing this, and those go into place. But wait, John's telling us that the city council, has to have a vote on this. So people are learning, I guess, different levels of government and who decides what happens in from municipalities to counties to state.
That's right. If your city council votes no, then clearly that sends a message to the Cannabis Commission that, one of these facilities, dispensaries, are not welcomed in the community, and therefore, I don't think the commission is going to force the issue on a particular city that does so, because we've already seen 18 cities and counties already vote on ordinances and resolutions already. Most of your big cities have already addressed this. Again, the city of Mobile has not. So there are options out there and already. I just kind of focused on the discussion that occurred at the Fairhope City Council meeting the other night, in which some folks stood up and spoke out against granting a medical marijuana dispensary, in which, that their concerns was, this could potentially lead to widespread or could lead to recreational use. There's an interesting discussion on the council, in which I believe it was Councilman Kevin Boone indicated, if we vote yes on this, it sends a signal that we support this. And, you know, some of the council members said, well, wait a minute here. This has already been supported by our legislature. We're the local governing body. All we're saying is that, you know, we'll permit the medical marijuana dispensary. This has nothing to do with recreational. So it was an interesting little discussion and debate, you know, and it's, you're right, it leads to a little bit of confusion. You know, does if the Fairhope City Council votes in support of a medical marijuana dispensary, are they supporting medical marijuana? You know, that's already been voted on by the legislature. That's not up to the Fairhope City Council to decide whether or not that should be authorized in the state of Alabama. So, I mean, you know, you're right. It's a civics lesson. And local governments have to vote on whether or not to approve an ordinance or a resolution if you're in the county in order to host one of these facilities. And again, if it's voted down, then clearly that sends a message to the Cannabis Commission that, you know, that's an area we're not going to go to. I believe so far only one city has, and they didn't even vote on, they didn't vote down an ordinance or a resolution, but it was the city of Pelham released, I believe, more or less a statement saying that they don't support this type of business in their community. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
And just a little aside here, and that the way this is being delivered, the way I understand it, you know, and there's a lot of Byzantine rules. The way this is going to be delivered, one of them is like nobody's smoking it. They got a suppository or something else that they get the THC from. They're not handing out joints at these places. So the idea that there'd be people stepping outside the dispensary and firing up and going all Peter Tosh on everybody. I don't see that with the way I understand the ordinance now, but I do like the civics lesson, and I do like the fact that a local government gets to decide what's right at that level for them. Now, do I see if you get these cities that all will vote no, it'll be like fireworks stands. You know, as soon as you get outside the town, right back in the county, there's a line of fireworks stands, you know, set up. Right where the code changes, maybe that's what happens. But yeah, the state passes something, but that doesn't mean the municipality has to accept it, right? I mean, they don't. There's no force majeure there, and there's no way to make them do it.
Right, you're exactly right. And like in the instance, well, Birmingham has voted in support of their ordinance already. Montgomery, I believe, was the first city to do so. Large city, Tuscaloosa has as well. And just recently, Huntsville says that they're going to move in that direction. So I'm looking at all the big cities, and I'm like, well, wait a minute here. Where's Mobile? And right now, you know, it's been kind of quiet on that front. So I think that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on as well. Where will Mobile fall? I mean, this is going to be a debate likely to come before the city council eventually. I would be surprised it gets ignored. But, you know, there is still some time. I mean, the city doesn't have to vote right away. They have plenty of time to weigh in. I mean, again, the program, from what we understand, is not going to be rolled out until June of next year. So, you know, a little bit of time to go here, but, you know, something to keep an eye on. I know that locally, Foley has voted on an ordinance, Daphne as well, and I believe the city of Gulf Shores is looking at one. They are taking their issue to their planning commission, and I believe that might be the case in Fairhope too. I think that they're looking at taking it to their planning commission. They'll vote on the ordinance first, and if they vote in favor of the ordinance, it will go to the planning commission because they may regulate on exactly where a medical marijuana dispensary would be located within the city. And they're I talked to the mayor, and she'd indicated, well, you know, if it gets to that point, we'll look at possibly, you know, just within the area that's zoned for medical usages, for instance, basically around Thomas Hospital. So it's not something that will be popping up in the fruit and nut district.
Right.
You know, there's another particular area that they would zone.
They have normal zoning
as well.
Yeah, they have normal zoning. And I don't know this, but I don't think, and maybe if you have more information, you can educate me, that the taxes that are taken in, right, the money that's taken in on this is taken in at a state. I don't know that there's any kind of tax incentive at a municipal level because, you know, and maybe it'll be a cleaner discussion because if there's revenue be made, sometimes opinions change, right, out there. Maybe because there's not a municipal tax component, there's not going to be anybody pushing it for the reasons other than what they truly believe.
Right, not a financial incentive, you're correct. And, you know, also keep in mind, when your city council votes in favor of an ordinance, that does not mean one's automatically going to pop up immunity anytime soon, if at all. I mean, again, we mentioned up to 37 of these will be located in the state of Alabama, and then, you know, there's other, you know, that doesn't mean even 37 of them will be located. So, you know, it's you're right. It's this is kind of an ongoing, unfolding program in the state, and it's not something that's easy to answer all the questions quite yet.
All right. You can read more, of course, from this story over at AL.com or all the other great work John does. Before we head to the news, John, I think I'm ranked 68th right now in college pick'em. Where are you?
Yeah, I'm having a really rough year. I'm in the 70th percent, you know, 70, ranked in the 70s. I'm not too far from you, so I can clean this up.
Wait a second.
Week,
wait a second.
Yeah, I've had
super
a bad year.
Excuses.
Head scratcher of a year so far, so you go ahead and be happy about your 65th ranking.
Yes, good. I will, because you know why? Y'all, here's the reality between John and I. John, somebody knows what he's doing, like Dalton. I'm like, have you heard those stories before where they have like a chimp throw a dart at a, you know, they used to put out the, you know, the back pages of the Wall Street Journal with the stock listings, and the chimp would throw a dart and they would buy that stock and make money. I'm that chimp. That's who I am. That's who I represent here. So I'm just getting
lucky.
Well,
you know what? I was really surprised that Oklahoma has fallen as fast as they have. And that's hurt me a couple of weeks. So I've kind of learned my lesson there. There's a couple of teams that really surprised me on just kind of, you know, how things have shaped out this year.
Now, he's sandbagging because he's going to come back strong. As always, my friend John Sharp online. Twitter, probably best to find you.
At JohnSharp99.
Good stuff, man. Have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
You too.
All right, there he goes, John Sharp. And we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
126 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile Friday style. Checking in with my buddy Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. So let me guess here. Gold and silver prices have dipped a little bit this week. Have you been able to sit down at all this week, or you've been at the counter?
I've been either at the counter or making mad dashes back and forth to the vault, or getting back up to the counter and reordering gold and silver. It's been hectic, Sean. It really has.
So, okay, so give me, what's trending? Like, are people buying more of the bars? Are they buying it in coin form? What's been the thing this week?
Honestly, it's been a little bit of everything. A lot of people have been sort of concentrating on the British coinage. So the 1 ounce gold Britannias, the 1 ounce silver Britannias, have sold out of both of those pretty quickly. And a lot of that is because people are worried about this being the last year the Queen is on those coins. She's going to be on for 2023, everybody. So if you're listening in, it's not a panic to get it this year before it's gone. 2023 is still keeping the Queen on there as part of that design. So those have been popular, 10-ounce bars, the 1 ounce gold bars as well. Just been busy, Sean.
All right.
The brain is still spinning.
Well, let's talk about this. Somebody knows nothing. Let's take your time machine back to when I first bought silver with y'all a decade something ago. Knows nothing. What's that process like? Can they just walk in and go, I think I need some precious metals?
Well, and honestly, we've had that conversation pretty much every single day. Because people are listening to the news. They're watching the news. They're getting very uncomfortable with what's going on out there. And they go, okay, you know, the market's down. The dollar's not worth very much. All these things are going on. I need to get into precious metals. That's what I keep hearing. How do I do that? So we do a little bit of a show and tell here at the shop. We'll walk you through all the different products, talk a little bit about what your needs or concerns are, let you figure out what the best thing is for you. And, of course, if you want to do a little, you know, pre-prepping on all of this, you can check out the radio show every Tuesday night right here on FM Talk, 6 to 7 p.m. with Two Guys and Some Change, or listen to that as a podcast before you come into the shop, and then you'll get to meet us here in the shop and talk some more.
It's all those things are good and true. Y'all go check out Angelo, my friend at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and we'll talk again next week.
Sounds good, my friend.
All right, there he is, and there he goes. Angelo, yeah, go take advantage of it if you're wondering what the heck is happening with our money. Well, at least, you know what, I guess at least we're a little better off than some other European currencies right now, but that, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like being the tallest dwarf. I mean, it's still, none of it's good. Oh, as we go to the news, because Kim Garrett from Victory Health is going to join us in just a second. I wouldn't have to put her through this, but as we go to break.
All right, man, say what you've been saying, man. Why do you hate Tennessee?
Man, I hate Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Because first of all, it's Tennessee.
That's right.
And I just hate them because they they low down,
uh-huh.
they dirty,
uh-huh.
they some snitches.
You got that right.
And I hate Phila Farmer.
Uh-huh.
I hate their colors.
Yes.
I'm not a dog person.
Me neither.
I just hate Tennessee, man. Like,
though I have to deal with Dalton walking around in a big orange jersey in here. Who's that? Some quarterback y'all had? I don't know. All right, news is next. Coming right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Friday style, glad to have you here. Yeah, you've got Auburn here on the station tomorrow. There'll be another football game going on that'll have Dalton and I talking trash. What it looks like right now, I guess, Dalton, I don't know if we signed off on this with the quill pen or not, but the loser, so Dalton, big Tennessee fan, a big Alabama fan, and we have different bets, but this year it looks like the bet will be a dramatic reading of the other team. If you lose, like if I lose, I will have to do a dramatic reading of Rocky Top on the air, and it'll be yay Alabama for Dalton when Alabama wins. He'll have to read that on the air. So right now, that's the bet as it stands, and it's straight up without points. And we probably have to pay that off on Monday or Tuesday's shows. So that's in the mix for this weekend. So just a heads up on that. Just make sure you know that. And also, as I'm talking about what's happening this weekend, tomorrow morning, starting at 7, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors with Mike Ward and me. I'm on there too. DCNR, Commissioner of DCNR for the state of Alabama, Chris Blankenship, and Dr. Sean Powers join us. So that's all coming up tomorrow. All right. And I want to say hello to my friend. Good to see you back in with Victory Health Partners, Kim Garrett. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So I do this all the time to you, but new people come through.
That's right.
So let me do the old, what the heck is Victory Health Partners? What's going on there?
Share with everybody.
Yeah.
So Victory, we are a nonprofit medical practice, and we take care of adults who don't have health insurance. So we're in our 20th year, and since the day we opened up, we've been providing a full spectrum of health care, including primary care, dental, medication, specialties, labs, referrals to specialists, and we've even grown to do more mental health, more referrals to specialists, really a full kind of one-stop shop for health care that's affordable, accessible for those without insurance.
How do you do that?
Lot of folks. Yeah. I mean, partners was put in our name for a reason. We need partners from our providers, from our volunteers to supporters, because we couldn't do it by ourselves. But that's what makes Victory so special, is someone who needs access to healthcare. Maybe they work part-time. They work in an industry that typically does not provide health insurance. And it is just so expensive that they know they can come in, make an appointment like any other doctor, and get the access to healthcare that they need and deserve.
Yeah, every time you're in here with me, I get texts from people go, they help this family member of mine or somebody else. Mm-hmm. So you talk about people that don't have access, traditional jobs that have access to healthcare. What kind of minimums, what kind of maximums?
I always encourage people, call. You probably do qualify. You probably do. If you don't have a Blue Cross Blue Shield, you're not Medicaid, Medicare, you probably do qualify. So call in and see. And we serve a broad range of people. So people, you look at their incomes, and it could be that it's like they have a household income that you think would support, but you look at different circumstances,
mm-hmm.
and just the cost of insurance these days, it's just so great. People are going without. Of course, we do have a limit that, you know, typically people would qualify for health insurance, and we want to be true to who we serve. But I always encourage people, go to our website, victoryhealth.org, or give us a call. And the last thing we want you to do is to delay your health care and not getting seen, staying on your medications, those type of things.
Yeah, and okay, so let's, two things here. First of all, go in and you see, because of these partners, these physicians that volunteer their time, they're seeing great, super talented physicians from our community that the way this works, they donate that time.
That's right. They either come into the clinic, or we have partnerships where they allot certain appointments for our patients. So, you know, our founder was a general surgeon for 13 years. Excellent right there. That's who you're seeing.
And he was called, if y'all go back and listen to it, he'll come, but he was called on to do this as his ministry.
That's right. As a ministry, as a calling, him and his wife were doing overseas mission trips and just said, you know what, we are hearing from the Lord that we need to step away, and what do we need to do in Mobile? And it was kind of this group of adults who are working, have income, but they just don't have insurance. There's just a gap. So that's really what was identified to us, and we've stayed true to our mission, true to our calling for 20 years, and we're looking at how do we keep growing, but we have referral, you know, specialists at surgeons at USA. We had neurosurgeries recently. We had dermatologists, podiatrists, GYNs.
Right, it's not just general care. People might get a picture that's just like general care first aid, but it's not.
It's a full, you know, the full spectrum. And really, that's just the tremendous partnerships we have within our medical community. That's amazing. It's just access here. And we could not do it without those partnerships.
You know, the idealistic part is this ministry and doing right for other human beings and doing what we're called on, what you're supposed to do. But pragmatically, Kim, I'll dig into this. The taxing of the healthcare system, when somebody lets something go so far and they don't have healthcare and they end up in the ER with a situation that could have been mitigated for a lot. Am I right? Am I on the right path here?
100%. There's actually a statistic that they have a 40% greater chance of death just because they don't have insurance, because they don't have that access to care. So they delay, and then it's emergency.
When they go to the emergency room, too, it's crazy expensive.
It's taxing on the hospitals, and pulling out those resources. Those bills cannot be paid. So it's just a vicious cycle of an economic impact for our community, but then more importantly, just a huge impact for our patients' physical health. I mean, their lifespans are being cut short. You know, we're seeing diagnoses, you know, come in at a later state. And so we're really pushing right now to do a lot with wellness, education, nutrition, get access to food, the resources that we can incorporate, all those things to be proactive, preventative, because we have a lot of patients who struggle with all those chronic diseases like high blood pressure, hypertension, diabetes, that, you know, that really makes an impact on their outcomes and their health.
Well, and you just laid something out. You talk about hypertension, you talk about diabetes. Now we talk about the prescription side of it. And people, you know, you've told me stories over time, people that they got to choose between paying the power bill or getting prescriptions, right?
I mean,
And something as simple as that pill or that insulin can give them life if they don't have it.
Exactly. That's what one of our cardiologists, Dr. John Ledoux at Cardiology Associates, says, you know, there's medications that can significantly reduce their chance of a heart attack. And he's able to get that for our patients. But it's like, if we didn't have that partnership, you know, patients would have to go between, do I pay my light bill or do I have a 25% greater chance of having a heart attack? You know,
right, but you know what ends up happening? People pay the power bill. They pay or you got to have the rent paid or something like that.
That's what you have to do, and then it just slowly creeps up, and then it gets to a state. So that's why Victory's here. We have patients who are with us we're just their doctor. We're just like their regular doctor, which is great. And then we have patients who come in seasons. You know, we take care of a lot of students who are at university or people in between their jobs, starting off in their employment. Maybe they don't have that insurance, so we can be kind of fillers within the gap for some folks with their health care.
They transition through Victory.
Exactly. But we're just here no matter what the situation is, but we want to keep our community healthy.
All right. So let's talk to quickly here as we wrap up. People who need your services.
That's right.
Okay, first of all, how do they find you?
I always send people to our website. It has all the information there, victoryhealth.org. Our new patient services coordinator is there that can get you an appointment to see the doctor and get set up all in the same day.
Okay. The other part of this is the people you say, you talk about the physicians that help and all the people but people donate time. People also donate money.
Yes. And we're able, because of our partnerships and just our model, for every $1 donated, we stretch that to $70. And so, and if isn't that incredible?
It's a magic trick.
I know it is. I mean, but that's just the power of partners. But then also, if that's enough, Infirmary Health leases us our building for $1 a year. So if you don't like the ROI, you can cover our rent for our dollar, but every
pretty
gift
awesome.
makes a difference, and we're able to stretch that. And you know, in a $35 donation can cover a patient's copay, and you just think about the hope and healing.
Is that the number? I wonder. You know, I like specific things like that. So if I donate $35 I cover somebody's copay.
That's right. A typical appointment is $35. That's their appointment. Medications, x-rays are free. EKGs are free. Labs are done. Some are done at free. Some are done at cost. Mental health counseling is done for free. Our prescription food boxes, our nutrition, our wellness, that's all for free. So you're starting to get a good return on an appointment. So.
And the fact is, this is as local as it gets, y'all. I know that's the right. people that operate this. It's as local. The money you donate, or the time that people in the medical community are donating, is helping people right here that live here. Without right. And nothing's going to Schenectady or San Francisco. It's staying right here.
Staying here. And even with this location, we do serve the Gulf Coast with patients coming from 25 counties in Alabama, 11 in Mississippi, and 8 in Florida. So we do serve the region, but you know, obviously our major footprint is here in Mobile. And
yeah,
our
but the home office is...
just right down the road off Airport Boulevard.
Right. That's what I like. This is great. And the message of this, because it's, I think every time you come in and talk about this, and I, like I said, either I'll hear from somebody who had that help or said, I didn't know something like this existed.
Yes, that's a heartbreaking part. That's why we're so thankful that you're always so kind to open up the airwaves to come on in, because, you know, if we can reach out one more patient, one more neighbor that we can take care of, then success.
It's a great thing. Kim, I appreciate what y'all do. Keep it up.
We will.
Keep us in the loop. And if y'all want to get more information, website once again.
Victoryhealth.org.
All right, Kim, see you soon. All right, coming right back. You know, it's an interesting discussion because Ruth Carmichael with Taylor Martino Rowan, not only attorney, but also a nurse. And I'll talk to her next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Ruth Lichtenfeld from Taylor Martino back in studio. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right, so I'm gonna dish on a conversation we had earlier, and that was when we talked, you know, about people contacting you, they have an injury, the importance of getting with you early on this, and we'll circle back around to that. But you and I are having a conversation that you get a call, and somebody is calling really for legal advice, although we've talked about the fact that you're a nurse and also a personal injury attorney, which is unique in our area. And sometimes, even if you break away from the law for a second and talk about their health and how they're feeling, because that's a big part of your life too.
Mm-hmm. No, it really is. And so I screen a lot of cases. I talk to a lot of people. I'm privileged to talk to a lot of people to see if we can help them, either me or our firm. But sometimes if I really don't find a basis for a lawsuit, but they have an issue, I try to direct them. I don't give medical advice per se, but I will say, if this were me, I would go see a neurologist for this issue. And I try to direct them to solve their problem. Mm-hmm. They don't always have a legal problem, but they always have a problem. And so if it's a medical problem, then I try to direct them to a source where they could, you know, get some help for it, even if it's not through litigation.
That's a rare phone call we can make to have, to, you know, that kind of wisdom on both sides. And I guess even in the case you go, my gosh, that person does have a case, but let's go ahead and get this treated while y'all are doing
right,
getting the information gathered for a case.
The goal is still to make them, quote, whole, both medically or physically and financially.
That's a super thing to get off into that I want to pick your brain on. We talk about, you know, compensatory and punitive. We hear those things thrown around, but let's talk about that. Like, somebody gets in a wreck and gets that injury. They're calling you. The first part is you got to figure out, like, how to get them well again, right? That's very nurse side of this.
Well, it's a dual track. I want to help them feel better, and I also want to be their aggressive advocate to help them recover what they deserve from the negligence of someone else. But it's a dual track, and I think that's in our entire firm, we do both. We care about the person, we care about their legal rights, but we really just want to help them feel better as well. So it's a simultaneous track, at least in my opinion.
Well, people will realize the first track. They'll be like, oh my gosh, this hurts, that hurts, I have this injury, I can't see, I have headaches and those kind of things. And so you're working on getting that fixed and how to make them whole as best as they can physically right then. But y'all are looking at things like lack of future earnings, the issues they could be having down the road, things that haven't even manifested themselves yet.
Right. That's exactly right. And effect on family relationships is very important. And it's really hard to put a, quote, number on that, a dollar on that.
But most people don't even think about that.
Yeah.
You know, until you, yeah, it's a real thing. But people are like, oh, well.
Yeah. No, we look at the whole person. It's a very holistic kind of legal assessment. And with me, legal and medical assessment, I don't. You know, I don't practice as a nurse anymore. I still have my license, I'm proud to say. I've had it for 40 years, but...
That's a lot of wisdom.
It's a lot of CEUs, yeah. Is what it is. But,
but y'all do that. You know, you're talking about the CEU, but, mm-hmm. I mean, talking about making yourself better and better, whether it is in the world of being a nurse, but also you were talking about the other day that you just had another seminar on car crashes and what can happen and the information available technology wise.
Exactly, and that was so fascinating to me. I didn't grow up in the era of computers or cell phones, although I use both now,
yes.
Sort of. but the seminar was by a forensic person who showed us how you can track the movement of a cell phone through the tower pinging that cell phone. You can subpoena records to show the location when the pinging stopped, so you know the time of the collision with our client typically, and then also the location of that. I have a case or had a case where, you know, someone said, no, never on the phone, wasn't on the phone. But the phone records showed differently at the time of the impact.
I call that I call that lying. But go ahead. I know you.
I don't call it lying. I call it misrepresentation of the facts.
That's because you're a professional. You're a personal injury lawyer. And I'm you know, a guy who talks on the radio. I call it lying. But okay, I'm following you.
Okay. All right.
So here is your client, somebody who's mm-hmm. called you. Mm-hmm. They're injured. They're saying, listen. This person, I looked up and saw them on their phone when they hit me or whatever it is. And that person, not me.
That's right. Somebody tells you they never use the phone while they're driving, never check a text message, never are distracted at all. That just cannot be.
That's suspect, isn't
it? It is. It just cannot be. Fact. It cannot be.
You know, you talk about this, the forensics and the technology, but this does have a shelf life of sort, right? The faster somebody calls you at Taylor Martino, this is important. Explain why that's important.
Okay. In the rules of evidence, it's called spoliation, which is if the evidence is destroyed, then it's forever lost. It's spoiled, basically. And with cell phones especially, you can delete messages, phone calls, text messages, Facebook postings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know much else about Snapchat or...
And nor do I. That makes two of us. It's okay. So,
but I know at least with cell phones, you can delete a lot of information. And what I learned at the seminar last week is that the forensic specialist, they can see every message to your phone has a, they call it a handshake. So if I'm sending you a text message, Sean, my phone first handshakes with your phone and it leaves a little trail of that. Even if you delete the message, there's evidence that a message
there was something
sent
was
from
there.
My phone to your phone. And I thought that was fascinating.
So even if they get rid of it, you can still say, hey.
The handshake does not, you cannot get rid of the handshake. Most of us didn't even know there was a, quote, handshake in these between the cell phones. But I thought that was worth.
Oh my gosh!
You know,
yeah,
the seminar.
So when somebody calls you and says, "Listen, I was doing right. That person hit me. They're saying they were not on their phone. I saw them on their phone, Ruth."
Right,
then you get this information. You go find the handshake.
Yes, right, and we can if the tortfeasor, the person who's caused the accident. Doesn't voluntarily let us download their cell phone data, then we can get a court order, typically, if it's appropriate, and that's the only reason mm-hmm. we would ask the court to issue an order to download the cell phone records around the time of the accident, maybe the day before, the day of.
All right. I want to talk about a couple things here. Number one, remind folks that you are a nurse. You're a personal injury attorney. This is a unique situation, and while we're going to call you because somebody has injured us and we want you to be our advocate in the courts, mm-hmm. you also see it through a little bit different lens.
I do. I really care about the person's injuries, both from a medical standpoint to, you know, see what we can do to make them feel better, make their life better, try to restore as much as we can to their pre-accident, you know, being, and also their legal issues. And, you know, I've told all of my clients, they can call me every week to check in. I don't mind. They can call me every day. I may have to call them back, but I don't mind that. And, you know, nurses are communicators. We talk all the time to people, and it's the same in the legal profession. People are surprised to know that I really think it's practicing law is not that much different than being a nurse, because a lot of the skills are exactly the same. It's communication, it's compassion, it's advocacy. You just apply a different body of the law.
All right. People need to make that call and talk to you. How do they do it?
Taylor Martino, 433-3131, or our website is taylormartino.com.
Ruth Lichtenfeld, thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.